Good afternoon. You listen to Verum Sports, and it's always amazing to see sport in its full picture. Sport is life, it is art, and we have a well-known documentary maker. He's been on Verum Sports before. He's earned fame and success as a well-known documentary maker for the awesome Bobby Robson, More Than a Manager, and also a great Cannes-nominated Steve McQueen documentary. It is the awesome John McKenna. How you doing, John?
Hi, Tony. I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for that very nice intro.
Look, I think, honestly, John, I salute you. I think in life, if you find a way to carve a niche doing what you do and what you love out of life, then you're playing a blinder. So I salute you for that as well. Anyway, look, goodness me, I'm very excited because I'm a huge fan of sport, as you can appreciate. And I know your documentaries get wonderful insight into the kind of the inner depths, the core of really fascinating sporting narratives. And the most recent instantiation of that is The Edge, doing really well across Amazon charts, topping it for 3 weeks, both on Amazon and the Amazon Tunes documentaries. So fascinating start. Just tell us a little bit more about The Edge.
Sure. Well, we did the Bobby Robson film, as you said, which we released last summer. And we wanted to follow up with another film this year. And we looked at the summer ahead last year and realised that this summer was quite an extraordinary cricket lineup, with the Cricket World Cup and the Ashes both being in the UK. And we were approached by the director of the film, who we'd worked with on other projects, a guy called Barney Douglas, who came to NOAA, which is the company that I run, and he asked if we'd be interested in helping him make a film about the England cricket team between 2009 and 2013. Barney had worked with the England team at this point in time. He'd been their media producer, so he'd been filming behind the scenes with them across a bit of a roller coaster period, really. So they were I think the lowest they'd ever been ranked in modern test rankings, and they went from the bottom of the world to number one in the world, and then they imploded quite spectacularly with Kevin Peterson and Andrew Strauss and the text scandal that erupted at the time, if people remember. And so we knew that story, but Barney had all this unseen, behind-the-scenes footage, which we looked at and we saw it was fantastic. So we knew we had some pretty unique elements to the film. Barney and ourselves were able to get to all the players that took part in the film. We wanted to take part in the film. But I think, as you mentioned at the start, Tony, I think the big thing for me and the big thing for us is, with the films that we try and make, yes, we love sport and they're rooted in sport, but we want to try and tell a story that people don't maybe know, but also that is about more than sport itself. And I was particularly fascinated with cricket, having played it very poorly as a child. And that the sort of weird beauty of the sport, with it being possibly the most individual of team sports, and how you're on your own out there. And I was fascinated by the mental side of the sport. We were fascinated by the mental side of the sport. I really wanted to bring that out. So when we set off and said we would do it, we looked at the summer of cricket. We looked at the unseen documentary, documentary footage that we had through Barney. But we also set out to make a film that was exploring test cricket, we hoped, like never before. So that was our plan at the start.
Absolutely fascinating. I cannot wait to unpack it with you. Just a quick kind of formal question that I'm fascinated about with your art of documentary making. Again, it sounds to me like you already were quite lucky, but again, you make your own luck, to have access to that kind of unseen footage, which I guess provided a framework. But within your documentary style, which again has that human interest and that quality, which is going to be compelling, no doubt, to what extent is it that you go in with a kind of focus, or to what extent does almost the narrative begin telling itself?
It's a good question, and I think there's several ways to go about doing it. I don't think every documentary maker does it the same way. I work with Gabriel Clark, and I've made lots of films with Gabriel. And Gabriel was part of this film as well, and helped with the narrative and helped Barney structure the film. as co-writer on the film. And the way we tend to work with our films is we identify what we think is a good enough story, is a multi-layered story. So it's not just a chronological A to Z of activities that happen on a sports field. So there's nothing wrong with those documentaries that you watch on TV that are a story of a season or a story of a period of time, but it's all about what played out on the field. So we want to identify a story that has got amazing drama on the field or whatever the sport may be, but we also want to have this other level, this other layer that is the human interest, that is twists and turns, that's got jeopardy, that's got surprise. So we'll start the process very pretty confident that we know what a lot of the story points, story beats will be. And so when the interviews are happening, we're encouraging the conversation to be around these narrative points. So you know that you're going to have how the film is probably going to start, and you know what you're building towards. And around that, there's certain topics in the films that you believe will be in this story. And so you go out with that in mind. You go out for the first interviews with that in mind, but you let the interviewees take you where they want to take you. You go with it, and then they'll bring so much to the table that obviously that story you've got on paper on day one then changes as you go. And I think with The Edge, it's a very good example of this, because I sort of said a little bit earlier that I was very keen, we were very keen, that this took us inside the minds of what it is to be a cricketer, what it is to play this sport. But because of the relationship Barney had with the players, which was very long and very good from his time working with them, the players opened up in front of camera to a level that I don't think any of us expected. And so in trying to get inside their minds as cricketers, they really went to where they were, what they were feeling at that point in time, and took us to we wanted this to be an important film about, is it possibly the best film about cricket that's been made? But what became apparent quite early on was actually the players were willing, and the coaches, and Andy Flower as well, were willing to go to areas about what the mental toll of the sport takes on you. And it became a film quite early on that we realised was actually going to be about sport, but it's also going to be about mental health and that balance between how much is too much, really. And so quite early on, we realised we could go there, at which point then what you try and get out of your interviewees change. So it's a little bit predetermined. You roll with where it takes you and you adapt as you go, really.
A very fluid process there. And again, it's to me, I cannot wait to see it. I've seen a trailer and it blew my mind. The Edge, obviously, with its cricket connotations, is such a perfect kind of summation encapsulating that. Because we do, don't we, all of us, we put our sporting stars on a pedestal, almost perceiving them as superheroes, if you would. But at the end of the day, in the final analysis, they're human beings. And that intensity, that pressure of all sports, of course, but cricket, Test cricket in particular, I would argue, is so amplified, so intense, and it does have, doesn't it, that kind of anxiety effect. And we've heard so many recently becoming more open about this. Do you think this is important, therefore, that it shines a light, makes us more aware of this affect, and possibly will have positive consequences for those who watch this documentary, not just of lovers of sport, but for those who maybe bottling up some of these issues which apply to those of us not privileged to be test match quality players?
Possibly, and I suppose the answer to that would be hopefully, yes. I mean, it's been quite incredible to watch and read the reaction to the film since it was released, and a number of people that have said that it will change how they view sport, it will change how they think of these players.
It's had quite a positive impact from those who've witnessed this awesome movie so far on maybe how we perceive our sporting stars. I guess that's always going to be positive because, as I mentioned before, there is such an intensity in Test match cricket, and that obviously has implications, as you guys identified, within the kind of mental health arena, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's been pretty extraordinary reading a lot of the reaction online to the film since it's been released, and a lot of people sort of commenting how, having watched the film, it may change how they act towards sports stars as they watch them now, and you know, the criticism that they automatically might have gone to, you know, barracking players for not performing. Actually, maybe they'll take a breath and consider a human being underneath the supposed infallible superstar. And I think that's what came out, I think, in the interviews we got, and hopefully in the film as people see it, is that individually, these guys were all, well, not all impacted, but a lot of them were impacted. They were impacted in different ways, and it manifested itself in different ways with these players. And ultimately, you know, these guys are human beings, and they feel vulnerable and fallible, like we all do. And they were so honest and open about what they went through. Jonathan Trott being the sort of particular person that really we focus on in the film, but Monty Panesar, Kevin Peterson, others all commented on how they were impacted, and the reaction has been amazing. And yes, to answer your question, I hope that, you know, if the film, we wanted to make a film that was an important film, and I think that the players have contributed massively in that regard, and hopefully, you know, people will watch it and it will make an impact. And if it makes somebody think differently about who they're watching, or maybe what they're going through, then that's amazing. That's amazing.
Honestly, John, I think it sounds to me like it's telling a very compelling, very important story here. Quick question. I kind of feel a bit ambivalent to this, because as a part of Verum Sport, it's a privilege and an honour to interview some great sports stars, and I know that we have to pass opinion, that's what we do, but I just wonder, is there a sense, or was there a sense, that as well as the pressure itself of test match cricket, maybe, as I've said, perhaps one of the most intense sports of across the board, but I wonder if that pressure is compounded by the kind of unique quality of the British media, which seems to me, for better or for worse, to have this tendency to build up people into superstars. Panesar springs to mind. And then when things deviate only but slightly, to then have that same effect, but on a negative curve.
Yeah, well, I think the British the British press is, I think, relatively unique in that regard. I mean, we see it, don't we, in football World Cups every 4 years, where if something goes wrong, they jump on the players, they jump on the coach. Is it changing? Maybe it's changing slightly, and maybe it's not as bad as it used to be. You know, the Bobby Robson film that you mentioned earlier, in that there was quite a big element in that about how Bobby had to deal with probably the first person to be at the mercy of the Red Tops, really. I think the British press does scrutinise maybe our sports stars more than most. I think the big thing that I suppose one of the big things that comes out of the film is that I think the organisations that look after the players maybe haven't looked after the players as much as they should have done as well, and they're starting to look at that, and I think that's getting better now. And in the film, Andy Flower himself, one a big line he says towards the end, I don't want to give it all away, but he says that if he had his time again, he'd coach the person and help the person and be more interested in the person than the player, just the player. Back then it was just the player. All they cared about was performance on the field. That was it. It was drive towards that. And those players were left out there, and they were put in front of the press, and regardless of any thought or consideration of what they were actually going through themselves. And I think where we're at now, I think people, as you mentioned, are starting to talk about it. People are starting to take it seriously, mental health in sports. And I think that a change is starting to happen, possibly. And hopefully, you know, our film is part of that conversation. I think that's all it can be. You know, it's not anything more important than that, but hopefully it's part of that conversation, which is a very important conversation.
absolutely, really fervently agree with you. However, I just want to, as it were, advocate the devil slightly just for a second, because it is, isn't it, an inevitable consequence of being that kind of elite person in all sports. You will have the pressure. You have the pressure of the, you know, the fact you are representing your nation. You've got the pressure to perform as in, part of a team. And ultimately, I guess, that element of sport is, you know, that kind of platform almost is, you know, some people will, they live and breathe for it. That's where they feel most alive. I guess, you know, whilst it's imperative that this film highlights these mega, mega important issues, and as you say, we strive towards becoming more conscious of the human quality, there will always be this pressure. And I guess it is almost a kind of a do or die scenario. I can't ever envisage elite level sport being without that. And like I say, for so many, that is pretty much where they feel most human, most alive.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think that what can change is that if people, I suppose, are those who can help the players in this regard, can manage it a bit more correctly, then maybe more people could have that opportunity, and more people could survive at that level of pressure and intensity longer. I think what again, not wanting to give away the film, but what comes out of it towards the end is that even the players that went through these really tough times, they look back and they loved it. With hindsight, despite it all, the joy of playing the game, the joy of being in that team, the joy of being at the top level is incredible. You know, they realised that they were very, very lucky to be there. And some of them would have gone possibly longer and contributed more for their country or their club or whatever that top level may be, if they'd had that support. So I think you're right. I don't think it will ever change. I think that to succeed at the very top level in sport, you've got to have mental resilience, toughness, and be able to cope with pressure that most of us can't even contemplate. I think what can possibly change is, I don't think the crowds will change. I don't think the pressure and the competition will change. I don't think any of us really want that to happen. I don't think the players probably want that to happen, but I think maybe if there's more awareness around what people are going through and people are able to talk to the right people about it, then they can protect and fortify themselves and be able to exist in that atmosphere for the length of time that their skill and ability should dictate, rather than their mental fragility.
Really appreciate that response. I think incredibly well delivered. Just coming back to the form, as it were, of the art of documentary making, and indeed actually all cinema, some of the things that kind of make cinema so compelling, as well as, of course, the visual and the narrative, is the kind of music that accompanies it, that builds the tension, that encapsulates those moments. And I know you guys were lucky, I guess, to work with Felix White, the ex-Maccabee. Tell us a little bit about what he brought to the party.
Felix was amazing. So Barney knows Felix from I'm not sure where from quite a long time ago, and quite early in the project he was keen that Felix did the score, because he's a huge cricket fan. He felt that he would understand what it was and what the sport what we were trying to put across within the sport better than anybody else. Felix had never done a sound cut before, and so Barney asked me to meet him. So the three of us went, had a cup of coffee, and talked it through. And I was really, you know, straight away, you could tell his passion and his desire to do this and do an amazing job. And I think that as people who watch the film will see, I think if you can have the right score, it will elevate a scene to a whole new level. And Felix has done an amazing, amazing job. I mean, it's the first time he's ever done it. I've got no doubt he'll go on to do as many of film soundtracks as he wants to, because he took to it like a duck to water. He was amazing with it. He was flexible. He understood the process, and the process is very difficult for a film composer, because you are not the star turn, really. You know, if you're making an album or you're making a record,
it's all about the music. If you're making a film, it's not all about the music. So he wrote a lot, as all composers do, but they write a lot of music that gets left out, and it must be incredibly hard to swallow the decision that isn't yours, that actually we don't need music here. It's better to have silence, or it's better just to have sound effects. So that he went through that process, he accepted it all graciously, and he delivered an amazing soundtrack. And there's a couple of moments to give Barney his credit where he was adamant that it should just be about the music. And there's a couple of big scenes in the film where Felix's music is just allowed its place to shine. And they are, in my opinion and my experience, they are goosebump on the arms moments in the film. So I think having an amazing soundtrack is very important. And Felix did an amazing job.
Again, some amazing stars to tell their tales. Andrew Strauss, Kevin Peterson, Graham Swan, James Anderson, Sir Alistair Cook, and of course, as you mentioned, Jonathan Trott. Just, you know, the who's who of that England team going through that from the bottom to the top journey. And of course, the affects of that. It really sounds to me incredibly compelling. But more importantly, perhaps, as well as the awesome tale with the narrative and the lessons that we can all learn from, so much great action is going to happen for the charity partners, I'm sure, who will benefit from all profits. You're working closely with Heads Together, part of the Royal Foundation, dealing specifically with mental health. And, of course, brilliantly, the Ruth Strauss Foundation, set up, of course, by England captain Andrew Strauss, who again a key person in this movie. Just talk to us about that relationship with those two great charity partners.
Yeah, sure. So we wanted to have a charity partner. We did it with Bobby. We had Bobby's Cancer Foundation as part of the film, and it was just great for us to be able to partner with a really good cause. So if the film is successful, then they will share it. Any profits that we make, and we wanted to set up a similar situation here. And because we wanted this to be about mental health, we initially approached the Royal Foundation and the Heads Together arm of that charity. So they were our charity partner, and that was fantastic. We were delighted with that. And then during the course of the production, Andrew's wife Ruth sadly passed away. I think it was last December. And so that was sort of, we were already, I don't know, 6 months or so into production. Barney spoke to the players, and then all the players were going to be part of our potential profits as well. And all the players then, they donated their back-end partnership or their profit partnership to the Ruth Strauss Foundation. So we were able to bring both charities on board. Both charities were delighted to both be part of the film. And so, yes, that's how we ended up with two charity partners for this film.
Amazing stuff, delivering an amazing message and all as well going to great, great causes there. I'm rather looking forward to the kind of premiere, I guess, from a cinematic perspective. Going to be at the Odyssey again here in St Albans?
The St Albans premiere, Tony, I think is more accurate. It's been in a few cinemas already so far, but the Odyssey have been amazing. This is, I think, you said at the start, it's the third feature-length documentary that I've been involved in, and Steve McQueen a couple of years ago, Bobby last year, both played at the Odyssey, and then The Edge is playing at the Odyssey on Thursday, the 26th of September, and we are absolutely thrilled because, as I think you and most people who are listening know, it's a truly stunning venue, and I can't wait for it to play there.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, listen, for me, it's been great to chat to you about this phenomenal project. Just for everybody listening, I guess you probably have maybe a website or kind of a YouTube link or maybe some of the Amazon ways that we can hook up and discover this. If maybe slightly ahead of that St Albans premiere.
Yeah, it's the film The Edge. It's available to buy as a DVD or Blu-ray on Amazon. It's available on Sky Stunner and iTunes and digital. And it went. It started streaming on Amazon Prime as of last Monday as well. So it's starting to to get out there. It'll be in other places in over the coming months. And we're still doing theatrical screenings. There's still interest. The Ashes still go on in cinemas around the country. And so if people want to get it on DVD, Blu-ray, they can. If you want to download it, they can. And if people want to watch it on the big screen in St. Albans, they can on the 26th.
So many options. Make sure you do not miss out on The Edge. If you're a fan of sport, if you've got any interest whatsoever in the interrelationship between high-level, high-caliber sporting action and the mental health arena, it is a must for you. And John, it has been an utter privilege for me, again, to have a bit of time with you. I just wish you every continued success with this amazing project and look forward to hearing from you very soon, no doubt, with your next odyssey into the documentary world. Thanks again.
I hope so. Thanks, Tony. I very much appreciate it.